Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
It is a day of fast-moving stories, for goodness sakes. We started the morning with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein either being summoned to or deciding to go to the White House and meet with White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. He was either going to resign, take this job and shove it, or he was going to be fired.
So why are we talking about Rod Rosenstein? Well, Friday, there was an article that was published in the New York Times.
The president was irate after reading this, that Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein had been discussing removing him from office, talking about secretly recording him. But multiple sources over the weekend told us that the president consulted his inner circle. He talked to his aides. He asked what he should do. And after those conversations, he backed off the idea of firing him for now. And that was the important thing. It seemed like it was inevitable at some point, but when was not clear.
So I'm trying to follow the logic, or dare I say lack of it, that we believe the New York Times on Fridays now. Okay, so they're telling the truth on Fridays. They're not failing in fake the other days of the week, though, let's be honest. Okay, so they have that story in which Rod Rosenstein has come out and say, he responded to it and said, it's completely untrue, fabricated, fake, he said, anonymous sources, never happened.
So joining us right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line to get a little bit more perspective on this story is ABC News correspondent Kenneth Moten, who's been working both the Rosenstein story as well as the Brett Kavanaugh story. Good morning to you, Kenneth.
So I've got whiplash, guys. Like, I've been in a car accident. I've got the thing on my neck right now. It's been crazy here in Washington.
Well, there are protesters at the Capitol right now on Kavanaugh. And so what's the very latest, though, on Rosenstein? We hear he's going to meet with the president later this week.
Yes, he's going to meet with him on Thursday. Do you guys know what else is happening on Thursday?
Yes. Yep.
Kavanaugh hearings, where he will really deny emphatically these allegations against him of sexual misconduct, not just by one woman, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, but this new woman who came forward in The New Yorker over the weekend that lawmakers are now reacting to today. But then as we were asking them about The New Yorker and about these new allegations against Kavanaugh, the story started to break about Rosenstein expected to be fired going to the White House. And then 2 hours later, we see him emerge with Chief of Staff John Kelly in the driveway. They're shaking hands. He escorts them out. They know the cameras are there. And then the White House immediately puts out this statement from Sarah Sanders that says, hey guys, I think you have some questions on Rosenstein. Well, at his request, he wanted a meeting with the president, but the president is busy up in New York at the United Nations General Assembly. He will be back on Thursday. You can meet with him then.
I get the whiplash.
We're talking to Kenneth Moten. He's at the Capitol right now with ABC News. Kenneth, I literally don't know the answer to this question. Sometimes I ask questions I think I kind of know the answer to. I don't know the answer to this question. Is the Thursday meeting, the Rosenstein meeting, meant to distract from the Kavanaugh hearings, or are the Kavanaugh hearings meant to distract from the Rosenstein meeting?
So typically we do ask ourselves if something that the White House or the administration does is a distraction, because we know that's been the MO in the past. This does appear to be a coincidence. It's the fact that Rosenstein, who requested this meeting with the president to talk about the New York Times report, Rosenstein apparently wants to get ahead of this, wanted to meet with the president. He knows what's been said over the weekend. You heard my colleague Karen Travers' report that the president met with his inner circle over the weekend. Right now they're saying hold off on firing Rosenstein, who's been in the president's crosshairs since the appointment of special counsel Robert Mueller, since the firing of James Comey. Rosenstein has been in the crosshairs of the president, and so we know that this was an opportunity for the president to get rid of the number two at the Justice Department. He also wants to get rid of the number one, the way, as well. But it looks like he's going to wait till after the midterm elections. And so at this point, if you're still following me here,
I need a flow chart. I do need a flow chart.
Should I get my whiteboard up and have arrows pointing? But at this point, yes, it seems to be a coincidence. But we do know that the president is back at the White House, and then there will be a face-to-face between he and Rosenstein.
You may remember when Glenn Beck used to do those crazy conspiracy theories on the chalkboard. That's what it sounds like. We're talking to Kenneth Moten, ABC News correspondent at the Capitol. So I have a question for you. I was told, or I heard, if you will, that there is a difference, and it is a difference with a distinction as to whether or not the deputy attorney general is fired or whether or not he resigns, and it is a difference that impacts the Russia investigation.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with unemployment benefits. No, seriously, I have heard that distinction as well. And I think that the White House is trying to walk, and the president is being told to walk a fine line here, because Rosenstein is overseeing the Russia investigation. He appointed the special counsel, Robert Mueller, that there would be different things that the president can do, you know, versus firing versus resignation. Mm-hmm. And so now we're already seeing that flow chart of who would be next to oversee the investigation, and it's the Solicitor General. But then there's already claims from Democrats saying, well, the Solicitor General has a conflict of interest as well and can't oversee the Russia investigation. So I have no clue what's going to happen by
Friday. Fair enough. Well,
I have no clue as what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes.
No.
I swear.
Thank you so much to Kenneth Moten at the Capitol with ABC News. Seriously, we're well past where the buses run. And they have the like the succession charts and things like that. It is not an exaggeration that we are in territory where, like, it's never happened, and people are trying to dig up whatever policy was enacted, you know, 100 years ago to try to cover these potential eventualities. But it's stuff that just isn't. It's well past normal.
It is, well, there's so much that is well past normal.
That is an understatement of biblical proportion.
Yeah, but if you're just joining us, Rod Rosenstein went to the White House today following the bombshell New York Times report on Friday that claims he volunteered to wear a wire to record the president and talked about invoking the 25th Amendment, which would remove the president from office. I've also seen reports that he had said that sarcastically, like, oh, what do you want me to do? Wear a wire?
And,
you know,
and you could see how, so you could say it like jokingly and it get reported and people go, oh, he said he would wear a wire.
But again, wasn't there.
Don't know.
But Rod Rosenstein went to the White House today, met with Chief of Staff Kelly. And now we hear that he's meeting with the president on Thursday.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will remain the number two at the Justice Department for now. The White House says that Rosenstein has requested he and President Trump have a, quote, extended conversation to discuss recent news stories. Since the president is at the UN General Assembly in New York this week, he'll sit down with Rosenstein on Thursday when he's back in Washington. Multiple sources told ABC that after talking to aides, the president over the weekend backed down from any idea of firing Rosenstein. But he was irate at the report in the New York Times that Rosenstein secretly discussed removing Mr. Trump from office.
Yeah, I get that.
I'd
be ticked off, too, but if somebody was looking to can me from my job.
What would change by Thursday?
What, you mean like, well, I don't know if the president has necessarily made his mind up. I mean, if you're looking at that report there, yeah, I put it this way. The president has been looking for an excuse to fire Rod Rosenstein
for
quite some time.
This isn't like, what? Who's Rod Rosenstein?
And I think that the New York Times article on Friday gave him ammunition to do so. But
the fake failing New York
Times. His aides have been able to explain to him what that might put into play. Again, think about what happened after he fired James Comey. We got the Russia investigation. So what would it mean if you fire Rod Rosenstein? I don't know. I haven't thought that far in advance. But I think it's one of those like law of unintended consequences that his aides are kind of trying to wrangle him in on. They've done a good job thus far. Will that hold through Thursday? And I think more importantly, though, Bruce, I would not be surprised if both Rod Rosenstein and Attorney General Jeff Sessions are canned after the midterm elections.
Either way.
If that happens, if either one of those happen before the midterms, I think that that could be quite damaging for some elections moving forward.
Okay, and I've heard that argument before. Here's what I understand.
You're out of breath, man.
No, I mean, here's what I understand.
What?
If he's already telegraphed the punch that I'm waiting till after the election to fire him so it won't hurt me in the election, who the hell is confident going into the election, then that's not going to happen.
No, I understand.
You see
that,
what I'm saying?
But like, I also understand that a lot of people don't necessarily follow these stories as closely as we are. So they're like, oh, okay, there's no huge headline that Rod Rosenstein has been fired. So it's not, you know, if you're not following every twist and turn in the story, then you may not be all that aware.
I think if your vote in whatever office that you're casting a vote for is determined on the fact that Trump would fire the attorney general or the deputy attorney general after the election, you're paying attention to it. And you that is something that would affect your vote. If you don't know anything about that, then I don't think it would affect your vote one way or the other, who he fires or doesn't fire.
It's been a busy day.
To say
it's
the
It's going to be a busy week. I just got this feeling, man.
It's been a busy week. It's 11:15 on Monday.
It's going to be busy. Buckle
your safety
belt,
this
folks.
Is worst Thursday ever. is Monday. Okay? Worst Thursday ever. Wow. Do you check online reviews? How much do you trust online reviews? Some new information out there that you probably shouldn't trust them very much at all.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You know, it used to be if you were, I take you back in the, back in like 1900s, maybe even early 2000s. How's that? Super producer Stevie Z wouldn't know about this. If you were going to, let's say, I'm going to San Francisco for the weekend, you would ask, not post online, ask your friends, hey, have you ever been to San Francisco? Did you stay somewhere you like? Tell me what you thought of
your recommendations.
A recommendation. Yeah. Thank you. We don't do that anymore. We don't talk to
you
people.
You might get a pamphlet. Whatever those.
Pamphlet. That's nice. We now go on a variety of different websites in which people, some of them people you might know, others complete strangers, leave reviews for places, good, bad, in the middle, and you can make decisions based on that.
Yeah, one of the most popular ones that I use quite often, it's called TripAdvisor. And there was recently a story that was done by a publication that took a look at the reviews on TripAdvisor and, all right, and through an outside company that takes a look at reviews determined that about a third of the reviews on TripAdvisor are fake.
Yeah.
That you can, in fact, hire a company nowadays to write glowing reviews for whatever organization or company you work for. And it costs you about $9 a pop for a glowing review. They get posted up there, and some people are none the wiser to it. Their goal to up their rating, you know, TripAdvisor
sure
is a 5-star rating schedule. And so if you go from a 3.5 to a 4.5, that could mean some pretty serious revenue for your company.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, when you talk about the travel industry, you're talking billions, billions, billions of dollars.
And it's highly competitive, too.
If you're looking at an individual hotel or a restaurant, I mean, you could be talking about millions, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue based on your score on the reviews. So they have a financial incentive to job the system as much as they possibly can. And there are companies out there, in case you didn't know it, there are companies out there that will write nice reviews for you, that will pretend to be customers, pretend to be people that stayed with you, ate there, whatever, and write glowing first-person reviews about how wonderful their time was at your cabana.
Now, you also have TripAdvisor that says they totally reject the inaccurate and misleading findings presented by the publication, and the claims about fake reviews on TripAdvisor are astonishingly bad clickbait journalism. Here's the thing. I use these reviews all the time, whether it's on TripAdvisor, which I think I used last week to book a hotel, or Amazon, and everything in between to purchase whatever I want on Amazon. I also go into it with a bit of skepticism. Yelp, even when I'm looking, you know, for a restaurant. I think that, like, this is the best thing since sliced bread reviews are a bit suspect.
I think they're smarter than that.
And
I think they know not to write them like that.
This is the worst place ever, I take with a grain of salt. So I think it's somewhere in the middle. And I think that you're also looking just to kind of confirm what you already want to do to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And you're looking for a reason. You're looking for a reason maybe to be dissuaded, which to me doesn't happen all that often, to be honest. But I think that there are fake reviews.
There are. I don't even think there's a debate in that. And the people who are writing these reviews are clever. And they know how to write them to try to make them look as real as possible. Don't just write something that's completely over the top. Don't make everything a five star. You know, they actually understand how the algorithms work, and they charge for it. They have a business around driving your score up so that it can help your business. And again, you know, I think that probably just as plausible are the ones that try to drive their competitor scores down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about that a lot on Yelp. When you see all
I found a hair in my spaghetti.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, are you the Italian restaurant that's right down the strip mall? Like, you know, is there some sort of
competition?
You're
the one across the, yeah, across
because
the street.
Because you can verify some of these things. Now, also what I'll take a look at on TripAdvisor and Amazon, if we're just going to kind of stay in those mm-hmm. two veins, is that how many times have those people written reviews? Because you can see if they are a verified purchaser on Amazon. So Amazon is saying, yes, they did, in fact, buy this product. Therefore, it kind of gives you a little bit more credibility in their review.
Got it. That's how they tried to get around with it, so that you couldn't leave a review for something that they had no idea you ever purchased.
Right. And on Yelp, it's the same thing. Like, how many reviews have you written? How many times have you checked in at different places? I forget what the terminology is on Yelp. But I know that if somebody is really active on that social platform, you can see it on their name. And then I give their reviews
more
credibility.
But if my business was to write fake reviews, I would be really bleeping active on those platforms.
Yeah, but I think you would probably have to change your name a little bit. I don't know. I know you're skeptical.
Yeah, I've got
my spidey senses tingle a little bit. I'm not as cynical towards it as you are, though.
Yeah. My experience is my experience. Somebody else's is theirs. I don't equate the two.
But they can help you, you know, gain perspective. I like that.
So we all have had squabbles with our siblings, if you have them, right? And there's a tension inside a family. But man, life inside the Gosar family is interesting to say the least. How many of your brothers and sisters have to come out and support the person running against you for Congress to make it a credible one and to make it uncomfortable at Christmas time? We'll talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Political attack ads are the norm right now, this time of year. You hear them on KTAR, you see them on the television. But there is I think it's fair to say, a relatively unique attack ad going on right now. An ad that criticizes Congressman Paul Gosar from Prescott.
Now, when you hear the attack ad, there's no pink tutu accusations in it.
One of those ones?
It's not one of those.
No gotcha?
Well, we'll play some of it for you here, because as you listen to it, you're like, I don't know about this.
Paul Gosar, the congressman, isn't doing anything to help rural America.
Paul's absolutely not working for his district.
If they care about health care, they care about their children's health care, they would hold him to account. If they care about jobs, they would hold him to account.
If he actually cared about people in rural Arizona, I bet he'd be fighting for Social Security.
Okay, so it goes on just like that. He doesn't care, all right? He is not working for his district, not representing rural Arizona, doesn't care about health care. So, okay, that could be fill in whatever congressman blank.
Right? That, standard argument, right?
Sure. But this is what makes this ad so unique. Those people you just heard.
Right.
Well,
my name is Tim Gosar.
David Gosar.
Grace Gosar.
Joan Gosar.
Gaston Gosar.
Jennifer Gosar.
Paul Gosar is my brother.
My brother.
And I endorse Dr. Brill.
Dr. Brill wholeheartedly endorse Dr. David Brill for Congress.
Okay, so you've got siblings that are now coming out against their brother. Six of Gosar's nine brothers and sisters have not only just talked poorly about him, but have endorsed his Democratic opponent.
Is that 66% of them?
Not quite, but
I don't know how to do the math on that. A majority of Gosars do not support Paul Gosar for Congress. I learned this from Jim Sharp as well.
Oh, what's that?
This has a variety of layers to
okay.
it.
Okay. There has to be. There has to be.
Yeah. So as he calls them, they're all a bunch of liberal Hillary lovers. You know, that's why they hate him.
Boy, Thanksgiving dinner is going to be fun.
Some are Mormon. Some are not.
Hmm.
So there's a split, a religious split in the family.
And an ideological.
And a political slash ideological split in the family. So we've got a political battle going on and, dare I say, a jihad inside the Gosar family.
You've got Paul Gosar who tweeted this. You can't pick your family. To the six angry Democrat Gosars, yeah, see you at mom and dad's house. It's okay. That got me thinking. You know, you
like
put
Thanksgiving
it,
dinner at
well,
the Gosars.
I mean, but you,
at mom
you know,
and dad's.
My sister and I have battled it out over the years, but we keep it in our house, right? You know what I mean? You don't go and air your dirty laundry out for the rest of the world to see.
Standard operating procedure for most folks.
Okay, so I look at it from that perspective as a sibling. I would never do this against my sister.
I wouldn't do it against my brother, and you know how I feel about my brother.
Right. now, let's take it from the parents' perspective.
Mommy and Daddy Gosar.
Because I'm a parent as well. Now, I'm a parent of an only child, so I probably have a much different perspective than those who have multiple children. But I think like the worst thing you could ever imagine as a parent is that your kids are just attacking one another. Right? You know, they may not see eye to eye on certain things.
And doing it so publicly and vocally.
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, you don't get along with your brother. I know it. You know it. We all know it.
He's been picking on you since you were four.
Right. So at Thanksgiving, he's going to sit over there and you're going to sit over here, okay? And don't even bring that
up. Nobody bring up politics.
Don't bring that up. Don't bring that up.
We're not going to have that. Here's what you get. The list on the door, here's what we can't discuss.
You're trying to mitigate it all. I mean, like, I can only imagine what Mr. and Mrs. Gosar are feeling about their kids so publicly feuding like this. I don't know. I mean, you can look at it from a political standpoint. Listen, I don't get along with Representative Gosar on many issues. I'm looking at this from something that like is relatable to all of us as far as like family feuding is concerned.
I mean, I listen, it's par for the course in Arizona when it comes to our politics. Why wouldn't you think that we would have an attack ad with six of the nine siblings endorsing their brother's opponent for Congress? Of course it would. Of course it is. It is crazy AZ. It is the example of why Arizona politics is so bizarre at times. Now, he claims they don't live in Arizona. They're not residents.
Yeah, and that's where... Again, if you don't live in this state and you're feuding with your sibling.
Yeah, but you can make an argument. They probably know their brother better than you do.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, you know, we could go back and play. It's a 40-second long clip, so I'm not going to. But one of the siblings was talking about water issues.
Like, yeah, and they're talking
about... Really?
If
you don't live in Arizona, like, why are you talking about water issues?
Well, the reality is Gosar is going to win. I don't even think this is a close battle. Sorry, Dr. Brill. But Gosar is going to win because the people in his district don't agree with his siblings. On most issues, right? I mean, you know, this is just the reality of it. The fact that his brothers and sisters, well, some, careful, not all of them. Well, I say that. If there are nine of them, now, you know what I really want to know? The ones who weren't in the ad, where are you guys in all this?
Well, you know what? Mama Gosar.
Mama Gosar.
Mrs. Gosar, Bernadette, lives in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
And she apparently learned of the video when contacted by the New York Times.
Oh, is she going to have is there going to be a talking to?
There were some phone calls, and there was I'm sure there was some talking to. I mean, she said she was shocked and crushed by the situation, as I think any parent would be.
I get that.
She also said that that she has a wonderful family, but clarified politically, she's with Paul. He's done a hell of a job for Arizona, and they love him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you would expect your mom to do that. And yeah, I'm not politically. I'm not a big fan of some of the positions that Congressman Gosar has taken. But I don't know. It just feels really sleazy to me to have your family publicly go out and trash you like that. Like that makes me feel bad for him.
Interesting. So you get some sympathy. Yeah, I'm no dentist, but I could see where you would get some sympathy for Gosar when your brothers and sisters line up to talk trash about you. on TV. That's not the first time they've done this, though. This was about a year ago. It was when we first started learning that the Gosar family wasn't all like Team Gosar. They weren't all wearing the same little wristbands and bumper stickers on their cars. I don't know. I guess you have a big enough family. What are the odds that they're all going to agree, right? It's just how public that disagreement becomes. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity. That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Well, the Kavanaugh nomination saga
continues.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun.
Right.
And cliffhanger after cliffhanger, reveal after reveal, plot twist after plot twist, with the latest plot twist coming over the weekend that not one but two new women are coming forward with allegations. One of the women we know, one of them we don't.
Right. And the woman that we do know, Christine Blasey Ford, is...
No. I'm talking about the new ones.
Oh, the new ones.
No, we know about Ford. Dr. Ford, we know that one.
Right.
Then we have a new one from Miss Ramirez.
Okay.
And then we have another woman who remains nameless who wants to testify on Thursday.
That's the Michael Avenatti one.
Yes.
Oh, Michael Avenatti, the attorney who represented Stormy Daniels,
yes,
who seems to be a bit of an ambulance chaser.
Fair.
But he says he has someone and corroborating,
yeah,
witnesses with some damaging allegations if they prove to be true. But we're going to hold off on that a bit. We'll let him kind of move forward on whether or not that story fully comes out. But Judge Kavanaugh isn't backing down. I mean, as the heat is getting cranked up with both Christine Blasey Ford, who's expected to testify on Thursday, you've got this Deborah Ramirez, who comes out of a sexual misconduct allegation at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judge Kavanaugh has written a letter.
Yes.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh told the Senate Judiciary Committee in a new letter he will not be intimidated into withdrawing from the confirmation process. Quote, "The coordinated effort to destroy my good name will not drive me out," Kavanaugh wrote. The Supreme Court nominee called the latest accusation against him smears and a threat to anyone who wishes to serve. Kavanaugh will have a chance to defend himself at a hearing Thursday. One of his accusers, Christine Blasey Ford, is also expected to testify.
This thing has had so many little twists. He wrote something also in this thing. He said, the people that knew me then know that this did not happen and have said so. They came out with this list of, was it 65 women who said he didn't assault them, which I thought was, again, it was odd. Because here, can I use this to prove a point? If you murder somebody, you can come up with a list of 65 people you didn't murder. Like, that doesn't in and of itself prove that you're innocent of what you're being accused of because you didn't do it to other people. No one's accusing Judge Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting every woman he's ever met.
No, but I think what they're trying to get to is character. They're trying to establish his character back in the day. And one of the authors, one of the journalists who was part of the New Yorker publication last night, which details the second accuser's account.
Okay.
This is one. So it was Rowan Ford and Jane Mayer who broke that story. This is Jane Mayer. Take a listen to what she has to say.
Okay.
I also interviewed a woman who Judge Kavanaugh wanted us to talk to, who would defend him. And I asked her outright, she knows Deborah Ramirez, and I said, do you think that politics was a motivation? And she said to me, no. And she's Kavanaugh's defender. So nobody is really alleging that politics was the motivation here.
How can it not be a part of this, though? And you know that's how people, there are people out there right now that will reflexively defend or condemn Kavanaugh and or the accusers based on their politics, not based on anything they said or did.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's much place for that, because for me, I'll be honest with you guys, Christine Blasey Ford, I think that there is some strong evidence and I tend to believe her, whereas with Deborah Ramirez, when the New Yorker contacted her to get her story, there were big gaps, and she waited 6 days to respond before she could clarify whether or not it was Kavanaugh. And so that one
does not seem as
like
plausible.
I don't care what the politics of it are. I care what your story is and if it's true.
Well, and again, I'll keep getting back to you. What happens Thursday, if it happens Thursday, is not a court of law. It's not to determine guilt or innocence. It's a job interview, and we'll see who they choose to believe. I still think politics will rue the day or win the day for that. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
It was 2 weeks ago, folks, that we were talking so much about Hurricane Florence. They're still digging out there in the Carolinas if they can, in fact, even get home. But here in Phoenix, there was a bar owner who wanted to make a bit of a difference. We're talking about Beth Johnson. She is the owner of Swizzle Inn. Think 50 for like the 51 in Bethany Home, that area there. Okay. She's got, you know, like a, she calls it like a Cheers neighborhood kind of bar. Good people, good hearts, and they don't hesitate to help others. So she wanted to help. So the week of 9/11, Beth Johnson raised about, let's call it $12,500 to donate to Hurricane Florence victim. She says that were her sales, and she chose to give them up for the week. She says that she tries to do as many fundraisers as she can during the year, you know, whether it's firefighters, community events, because she feels like she owes it to the community. They've been very kind to her. And she says while she was growing up, you know, there was an emphasis on charity and compassion. And she got her first chance for fundraising last year during Hurricane Harvey in Houston. She said the devastation bothered her. She wanted to jump in and help. It's exactly what she did, and she's doing it again to help out the Carolinas in the wake of Hurricane Florence.
Shout out to Swizzle.
Swizzle Inn.
Swizzle. I like that.
Nice job, Beth.
Oh, there. You get a thing of lunch, thing of thing. Yeah, there's, you know. Support somebody that's doing a great job in supporting other people.
Exactly.
Thank you for restoring our faith in humanity right here in our own backyard. I like those stories. Tell you what, Pamela and I, we like looking through the double pane bulletproof glass. We see DJ Tommy Two-Tone over there, super producer Stevie Z, and Bob McClay.